Grade 1, Lecture 11, The Four Temperaments, Part 7. Now we'll meet the sanguine child. You'll notice when you go to shake the sanguine's hand first thing in the morning, the hand may be a little bit on the cool side, probably not a very firm handshake, and it will quickly come in and go out of your hand. In the same way that the sanguine's eyes may be flitting about here or there, always open to a little bit of distraction, but always very open to all that's streaming in from the periphery, and loving the first thing in the morning because it's a chance to meet others and to be a social being. So this social aspect of the sanguine is the most wonderful thing that they contribute to the class. And close to that, close number two, is their capacity for artistry and their love of the Waldorf curriculum, which sometimes seems to be designed for a sanguine with its variety of activities and its stress on creative responses to subjects that are learned. And along with that, some of the challenges working with sanguines are the many things that get started but are not finished. Hard for a sanguine to finish a drawing, to finish something that they're writing, even though, of course, in first grade, all of this will be done with a much greater degree of control on your part. But you'll see, even there, the sanguine finds ways or is found by ways to not bring things to completion. And this is something that you can't just turn around from one day to the next. You'll see when we discuss drawing and how we can work with the sanguine child to help them start to work towards greater completion. They'll also be able to tell you what's going on in the class, how everybody else is, and you know, don't be mean to so and so today because she's not really feeling well, or Charles is so excited because he just got a new dog, and they feel what others are feeling. They're excited by what others are excited by. They take on the soul life of the class in a very rich and very, very complete way. This also means that they take on the mischief, that they take on the chattiness. And wherever sanguines are, there's going to be conversation and there's going to be socializing. And here again, we want to be sure that we are not too harsh about this, too strict about it. Sanguines need a little possibility of being chatty. And in fact, it's a little bit of a barometer, because if you are moving things along beautifully, artistically, with a strong social sense, you'll find that the sanguines will go along as well, that they don't need a distraction because what you're giving them is fully occupying their soul. And Steiner always indicated that when you do have to discipline a sanguine, and it really won't be that often in a very serious way, but when you do, you're going to want to give them the sense that they should act better because they are so loved, because everyone loves them and everyone is fond of them. So this is an important thing, that for the sanguine, the connection to the world around, to the teacher, to other children, is very much love-based. And it's something that we really want to be able to bring to them in a very strong way. The shadow side of the sanguine sociability is that they combined with their scatteredness, can be that they can be passionate friends with somebody one day and ignore them the next. And because the sanguine carries a certain resilience of soul, do not stay terribly sad for very long. They do not stay ecstatically happy for very long. They love to just move from one to the other. So they can't imagine that their desertion of their dearest friend in the world from one day to the next could actually be that upsetting to that friend. So they have a tendency in life to be heartbreakers in a certain way, dropping friends and even mates right and left. And this is something that we have to awaken them to, you know, that other people's feelings may be deeper, may have more of a permanence about them. And of course, when I say alert them to things like this, it's not going to be a lot for any of these temperaments through direct lecturing to them. It's rather going to be our example. It's going to be the stories that we tell. These are going to play a very, very large role in helping those children find a way to move along and transform their temperament. And what is the transformed sanguine like? As I said earlier, there's this very poetic quality that they can have, very artistic quality. They often are those who find fresh new ways to look at the everyday world. And that's the most wonderful part of the sanguine, you know, that wonderful expression. It's not that we journey the world to keep looking at new things, but that we look at the old things in a new way. And sanguines decidedly have this quality. And they're also going to be people who will raise the mood, who will bring joy to others. You know when you go shopping anywhere, how different it is for someone at the cash register to be sunny and positive and smiling, or for them to look like they're, you know, ready to go on another shift and they don't like their work at all. The same with most any situation you're going to be in. It's always good if there's a sanguine or two there to find a way of making it joyful. And certainly the class trips will bear this out, because you may see when it's raining hard and the tents collapse and the sleeping bags are wet, the sanguine just suggests everybody go out and play a good game of kickball or find a place to hike. They will always be positive. That's a very important point of the sanguine child, and one for which we can only be really grateful. Now, when I've said, you know, act like a sanguine, well, number one, come in on that one day, now and then, wearing something very fashionable. And also, when the sanguine child is working in her main lesson book, you know, and you're walking around, let's say, looking at the children's work, for the most part, you're going to tell children, press down harder, you know, do that drawing so it's stronger, or show the green so we can really see it. Usually children are a little bit too light nowadays in the way in which they use their crayons. For the sanguine, however, who's definitely going to be light and may have one part of the drawing finished in a corner, another part finished in another corner, nothing in the middle, you never know. For that child, say, okay, put down your red and use a little green now. But I'm not finished with the red. That's all right. Let's work with some green. You come around a few minutes later. You're still working with that green? Start with blue. We need some more blue here. So with the sanguine child, you want to show her that you are as sanguine or even more sanguine than she is, that you actually are trying to speed her up and make her work even in a way more scattered, within reason, within the confines of a page. And by doing that, you in a certain way allow her to fully experience her own sanguinity until she gets a little tired of it. She does want to move on and do something very different. Another aspect of working with the sanguine, which is generally true of working with the temperaments, is it's very good, very important to seat sanguine children in a group together. It's important to do this with all four temperaments, but the sanguines, because of their social nature, are the most sensitive of all children to who's around them. Phlegmatics and melancholics tend to be less sensitive to that and more self-contained. But sanguines, no. They will notice who's there. And if it's other sanguines, often they will be, you know, very, very good friends or easily make friends with one another. Their joy will be boundless, and they'll chat together and show things to each other and work out different symbols and codes of looks or touches, which allow them to know what's going on and to find a kind of alternative universe to whatever you're trying to present. Don't get frustrated by this. It's actually very good, and, you know, within the limits of your own patience, try to let those sanguines be social and even be a little bit chatty, though we certainly want the children to be able to work silently for expanding periods of time as the year goes by. Don't be too upset if the sanguines kind of lose it and, you know, start chatting, giggling with one another. In later grades, it will be note passing. What will happen in time is that one of those sanguines will ask you if she can be moved, or maybe the younger ones, you'll get that message via a parent, because I'm always getting in trouble, or the other children, you know, take me away from my work. That's also very good, that the sanguine's starting to realize, you know, I've got to settle down. But how much nicer when that realization is coming from within and not just something imposed by the teacher from without. So the ideal first grade Waldorf classroom would be one divided in four parts. And in one quadrant, you'd have the sanguines, in another, the melancholics, in another, the phlegmatics, in yet another, the cholerics, which is a good reason for trying to figure out early on your best guess as to a child's temperament. It may certainly change as the weeks or months go by, and you always have to reserve the right to be changing the children's seats. But doing this will allow you to direct your consciousness to one temperament at a time. And this is another one of those wonderful techniques that we have as Waldorf educators that can really help us be more effective teachers and more efficient teachers. That though we speak about building the group and teaching to the class, that's not really that possible, especially if the class is any larger than 16 or 18 children, and I hope your class is larger than that, or at least that size. There you can only work with about 25 to 50% of the children at any one time. And by being able to direct a section of the story to the cholerics only, number one, you're going to grab their attention, and number two, the other three groups will also be drawn to the fact that the cholerics are so engaged, that they're listening so well. And then perhaps the next part of the story, it's going to be the phlegmatics who listen most intently, and the attention, the consciousness of the other children is drawn towards them. So we'll be thinking about this as we talk about storytelling in particular, but it also allows you then to work with a group of four or five children at a time who have similar proclivities in the way they use their colors or the way in which they apply pressure or a lack of pressure in their drawing. And it really makes your teaching work a lot easier. We'll go on. One more look at the temperaments, meeting the choleric.